Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hey, it's my turn to talk on the radio. I was just reading some of the texts that came in. It's 10:08 on WGN. Good morning. It's John Williams. We were telling you the story a little while ago about a kindness done by a celebrity stranger to somebody. And before I go back to that story, I was just reading some of the texts that came in as well. John, check out the Donnie Wahlberg story about the breakfast place in St. Charles and the server tip. I didn't know there was a 2020 tip challenge this year. Have you guys heard about this? The 2020 tip challenge.
I have not.
Is to leave a really big tip in the year 2020 to a waitress, I guess, or waiter, somebody at a restaurant, somebody who would tip. And I don't know if the tip challenge is to leave a $20.20 tip or a $2,020 tip. But Jenny McCarthy and Donnie Wahlberg were at an IHOP in St. Charles, and they left a $2,020 tip. How about them apples? Then there was another story in the news this week, and it wasn't a famous person like that. How do we know that Donnie and Jenny did it? Because Jenny took a picture of the ticket and then posted it on social media. I don't mind them crowing about their generosity, because I think it encourages other people to do the same. And what's the harm in all of us knowing that sometimes famous people can be really generous and swell too? So they don't have to be anonymous for me. And then there was the Jelly Cafe in Mount Prospect, and a woman who's not famous left a $2,020 tip for some people there. And she arranged it for a waitress there, and she arranged it so the family could actually come in and watch the woman pick up the ticket and see that it was a $2,020 tip. She literally called ahead, told the restaurant what she was going to do. The husband and kids were standing in the corner, whatever, and were able to witness $2,000, which for a lot of people is a godsend, right? You know, in the case I was recollecting, it was more just a celebrity spending some time talking to a fan and just sort of giving of themselves a little bit that way. You don't have to be handing out money, but I think, and this to me is so lost on athletes. If you're a member of the Chicago Bears, the Blackhawks, the Bulls, the White Sox, whatever, if you're a Chicago Cub, walk up and down, you know, the fence, walk up and down the brick wall there, sign autographs, visit with the fans, just give a little of yourself. People will tell that story for years to come. It doesn't take much. It's not that hard. And I know you're put upon, and sometimes people are crappy to you, and you have your own private life. But boy, those stories will go a long way if you just do a little bit of that. Matt Bubala, who produced my show for years and does an evening show here at WGN Radio.
He's always willing to stop for an autograph.
No, Steve, he didn't give the autograph.
Oh.
He got the autograph.
Matt did not.
Well, actually, it wasn't that. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Good, John. How are you?
So what's your celebrity brush with greatness here?
So we were at we were all going to the Cubs game a couple of years ago. I want to say it was 2016 before they won the World Series. I think I don't remember for sure if it was 2016 or 15, but we were early for the game, and so we stopped at the big Wrigleyville Sports, whatever it is, right across the street, where they have a huge selection of merchandise and stuff.
Oh yeah,
to get a hat for Jack or Tommy or something. And we're walking around in there, and a guy walks by me, and I kind of notice him walk by, and I turn to Jack and I go, "That was Eddie Vedder, the lead singer from Pearl Jam." And Jack was in high school and becoming a fan of Pearl Jam at the time. He's like, "Get out of here." And I'm like, "Yeah." And there was a big dude kind of not far from him at all times. I realized, okay, he's got a security guard with him. He had his daughter with him. And nobody was noticing that Eddie Vedder's just walking around in there doing some shopping. And Jack's like, "You got to go up to him. You got to say something." I'm like, no. Nobody knows he's in here. Let's just be cool and let him have his time.
Pause for a moment. And that's so nice that your son really wanted you to have the moment. Usually it's the other way around. How old's Jack in this story? He's maybe 15?
Maybe 14 or 15, yeah.
And he's going, "Dad, I want you to go talk to Eddie Vedder." And you're like, no. So keep going.
So we kept shopping and doing our thing or whatever. And then we go up to check out and buy a hat or something, and he's right next to me at the next register. And he's paying for something. And so then I'm like, "All right, what do you do in this situation? Do you say something to somebody you idolize, appreciate, you know, especially when it's music, and there's times in your life that music got you through times, you remember great times, certain music, and, you know, Pearl Jam's been kind of part of the soundtrack of my life at some point, and because they came out when I was in college, so all my growing up in adulthood is, you know, there's been a lot of Pearl Jam, and so I turned to him and I said, hey, man, I just want to thank you for everything you've given us over the years. It's really been great. And then I turned back and he goes, oh, man, I really appreciate that. Thank you. And I'm like, sure. And I kept paying. And I turn around, and Jack and Tommy are standing there. And he turns around. He goes, are these your boys? And I said, yeah, this is my son Tommy. And this is Jack. He's a big fan. And he's like, great to meet you. I think he shook Jack's hand. And then he reached in his pocket. They were playing Wrigley in a couple of weeks or later that week or something. And so he must have been in town. I think he sang the seventh inning stretch. And he reaches in his pocket and pulls out some guitar picks. And he hands them to me. He goes, these are from the shows we just did in Boston. I don't have my Wrigley ones yet, but have some of these. And so I think they said PJ on one side for Pearl Jam, and I think the number 23 on the other side, but they were in like the Boston Red Sox font that they use for Red Sox and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, it was really cool. And then he walked off. I said, thanks, hope to see you at the show. And he went on his way, and we went our way, and it was really awesome.
You didn't ask for a selfie, which I think is another level of intrusion, right? Like,
very tempting to do that because you wish you had the moment you met an Eddie Vedder or whoever it is. You know, you'd love to do that, but I hesitated very much to talk to him at all, and he was so cool and so nice that I certainly didn't want to push it.
And I think if you want to respect that moment from his angle, then that's one way to do it. Don't you think there's degrees of sort of intrusion, like if they're eating breakfast with their family, maybe you leave them alone. If he's standing in a store, you can approach him. But don't you think, Matt, that a selfie is in some ways asking more than a brief conversation or even an autograph?
I think that they appreciate a brief conversation a lot more, that they probably take a million photos all day long. I always think about the presidents and people like that and how many pictures you see. It must be very trying to stand and take 1,000 pictures every day with people everywhere you go. But it's hard not to ask for that because that's how we've been conditioned, that we have to, you know, document everything in that way.
Well, you want
to,
but you want to
have that. You want to have that to show people and remember and look back on.
Yeah, you want to share that. But I mean, so if you were telling me this story, you could then whip out your phone and show me the picture. It would probably be the cover photo on your phone anyway, right? But but the story and memory are still pretty solid. Do you feel like you've really lost something that you didn't get a selfie with him?
No, I don't, especially because he gave me something cooler. He gave me some of those guitar picks. I mean, I have those in my house now, and that's pretty cool. And I'm impressed that you even remembered the story. I didn't remember that I'd ever even told you this.
Oh, I think I cried the first time you told it to me because I was really happy for you, and I was so happy for him that he seemed like a pretty solid guy like that.
Well, that was and that's the other hesitation, is because if he would have said, hey, man, I'm with my daughter, then that would have been like, oh, God, not only did I just do this, but dude, you didn't have to be like, you know, you would just change your whole perception of how you thought about that person, which would be unfair because you don't know what kind of day they had or what kind of whatever's going on. But that's the other danger of it, is what if they're not very cool, or, you know, what if they're whatever? You don't know because you only know them through certain things.
And I think you have to grant them that. Like, Matt, there have been a few times where I'm with my boys or the family and we're somewhere and people come up and they start talking to me. And sometimes we have long, very engaged conversations because they're listeners and I'm giving them a moment and I'm flattered, right?
Sure.
But there have been a couple times where that's happened to me. And trust me, I realize how small my celebrity star is. I'm just relating my experience. But then my sons would kind of look at me like, Dad, we just stood around for 10 minutes here at the Cubs game waiting for you to get done with that. And they get it. But they also, you know, you're asking, it's not the compromise to the celebrity, to the person. It's also to their kid, his daughter standing there. And I would respect his maybe lack of patience in that scenario, not because he's a jerk, but because his daughter doesn't have to do this, right? So so give her a break, in other words.
Well, that's very forward thinking, John. I think most of us would just be like, man, I can't believe he was like that, and not maybe, you know, analyze it in that rational of a manner.
Matt, somebody texted in, hey, I met Diesel Zappa at the Hard Rock Cafe in Tokyo, and he bought me a steak dinner and all the drinks I could drink that night.
Nice.
I don't know why Diesel Zappa did that, Frank Zappa's son, but that's kind of cool. And then there was another one here. Somebody texted this one in. They said, hey, John, many years ago when Steve Kerr was still playing on the Bulls, he did an appearance at a local sports store. Our daughter with Down syndrome adored Steve Kerr. My husband took her, but the line was so long they could not get in. He was done. He was leaving when he saw Alex standing outside, and he came over, he shook her hand, and he talked to her. She's an adult now, and she has never forgotten that story. This is what I'm talking about. You don't have to give them a guitar pick or a selfie or $1,000. Just show people a kindness and a consideration, right?
Yeah, but, you know, on the other hand, like you said, sometimes that's really hard because you don't know what the previous 15 or 20 minutes of their life was. Did they get... Did you see what happened with the Pope over the holidays?
Yes.
Where he was in the receiving line and the person yanked him and he slapped their hand?
Mincing Rascals talked briefly about that, and the word I was using was slugged, but I think slapped is more...
Slugged?
He slugged this lady?
He smacked her hand.
She wouldn't like...
hand, yeah.
And that's after she yanked him backwards.
She did yank him.
You're the Pope.
But, you know, it's the Pope, and you'd think that, all right, turn the other cheek, I gotta be cool about it. But even the Pope has to smack away a hand once in a while. We have to give celebrities a break.
Yesterday, during his audience, a nun asked to kiss him, and he kissed her.
No, are you serious?
Yeah.
You know, 8 billion people on the earth, and the Pope's like, I'm the only one that can't be a jerk once in a while. Eddie Vedder, you could say, hey, he's a rock and roll star. He's with the kid. Give the guy a break. But if you are, you know, Christ's emissary on earth, you can't be saying, hey, I'm tired. Leave me alone.
I don't think that was even jerky, though. I would have been scared to death if someone had done that to me.
Oh, she's a little old lady. She's on a rope line. The Pope is right there. How often is the Pope going to be right there?
He's walking away from her. She grabs his hand and pulls him backwards.
Well, what did he think that was good? Like, so I wonder what the Pope is thinking is happening here. He must know the drill.
I don't know. Sometimes bad things happen to popes in that square.
Yeah.
I don't think that he was scared. I think it looks like it hurts his arm. Like, she yanks him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's an older guy. That probably hurt because it looks like not only does he slap her hand, he starts scolding her verbally.
Yeah, he does. But right before he came up to her, she does the sign of the cross. She's like, bless me, Father. I'm about to meet the Pope. This is the greatest experience of my life. Now she's a meme, for crying out loud.
Can you imagine that next time she's in the confessional, what did you do? Well, you know, I kind of ticked off the Pope. I don't know what's the penance for that.
Well, really, I think the penance is taken care of because he slapped me.
I assaulted the Pope.
That's old school. When I was in grade school, they got to do that. They can't do that anymore.
Oh, the nuns can't hit the kids anymore?
I don't believe so. At least my kids never get hit like I used to.
Corporal punishment. That may not be a change of rules. That may be a change of personnel there, Matt. It's your kids are better behaved than you were.
Well, there's a possibility there, John. Hey, real quick, just to take this back to a more normal level, with the Jenny McCarthy thing, with the tip, was she expected to go get vaccinations or pay for the doctor's visits because she's not getting vaccinations, or how does that work?
Hold on a second, Matt. I'm almost ready for you here. Just stand by.
Oh, no. Come on.
In fact... Listen to this. Somebody texted in, breaking news, John. I just heard that the coyote captured overnight for allegedly biting two victims has been released, and all charges were dropped after working a plea agreement with Kim Fox.
Wow.
Well, the coyotes and foxes tend to work together.
Hey, any year that starts with the Pope slapping away hands is going to be a rough one. Buckle up, everybody.
Goodbye, Matt Bubala.
Goodbye, John Williams.
Our friend Matt Bubala. Lots of calls along these lines. Is it Jose? You're on WGN. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, John. How are you?
What's going on? Your brush with celebrity kindness.
A slight one. You know, this was a little bit about 10, 12 years ago. I've gone to a Cubs convention. And, of course, those conventions, you run into a lot of ball players, and you get many autographs. You know, that day I got Ryan Sandberg, Billy Williams, Ron Stanlow. The list goes on and on. But the most memorable one of all that I'll remember for the rest of my life, I had to go to the bathroom, and I was in the urinals, and next to me was Bobby Dernier. So I introduced myself. I said, are you Bobby Dernier? He goes, yes, I am. I said, I'm Jose. would you mind if I get an autograph? And he goes to me, yeah, sure, no problem. But can I finish first? That was it. I mean, I've got autographs from many, many great ball players, but this one stands out the most. And he was such a great guy and gave me the autograph, and that was it. I met a Cub by the urinal.
That happened to me with Bill Murray at a Bulls game.
I just think that's one place you can't strike up a conversation.
So I'm standing next to Bill Murray.
Seriously?
Yeah. And I just turn, and you can tell everyone's kind of looking. They don't want to stare. That there's Bill Murray at a urinal. And I turned to him. I said, "Can I get a picture?" And he laughed. It was funny.
That's funny. Well, here's how I think you should have played this, Jose. So you're standing there next to Bobby Dernier, and you say, "Bobby Dernier, I'm a big fan. I'm Jose." And then you know what he should have said, right?
Tell me. I'm anxious to hear this one.
I'm Hose B.
You know what? I've never heard that one before. Yeah.
This storm can't come soon enough.
Hey, you have a good day,
right,
my friend.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. Janet's online, too. You're on WGN. Hi, Janet. How are you?
Hi. I wanted to tell you that many, many years ago, I went to the Oprah show. John Denver was there, and I brought my camera because it was well before cell phones. And they told me as I walked in, do not use your camera. Do not take any pictures. So during a commercial, Oprah came up to me and said, why don't you take a picture with John Denver? And I said, oh, no, they told me not to take any pictures. And she said, go, girl, get up there, and I'll take your picture with John Denver. And she did.
That's nice.
Isn't she nice?
So I wonder what makes that picture more special, that you're there with John Denver or that Oprah Winfrey took your picture?
Well, on the back of it, I wrote, picture taken by Oprah Winfrey.
You're darn right. Janet, thanks for the phone call. I like that. Let's go to Tracy on line 3. Hi, Tracy. You're on WGN.
Hi, John. I had it was a year and a half ago. I met Dwight Schrute. Also, of course, his real name is Rainn Wilson.
Yeah, right.
When he was in Chicago. And I was literally on Michigan Avenue, and I was crossing the bridge. It was Friday afternoon, very busy foot traffic. But it was a very cold day. So most people had on winter coats and hats. I mean, it was May, but it was freezing out. And as I passed him, I saw his face. You know, I just could not recognize him. I think most people were going to walk by him and not really even notice.
Right.
Him. And so as I passed him on the bridge, I called my son because our family is an incredible fan of The Office. We've watched it for years. It helped one of my kids, and I mean, it's meant a lot to our family. When my child was changing schools, was very anxious in the morning. And when I asked what would help kind of calm you, he wanted to watch The Office and thought that that would help start the day, and that was the backdrop for our morning for a long time. So I called and I said, hey, I just passed, you know, Dwight Schrute. And my kids were like, Mom, go say hi. So I turned around. He was walking north on Michigan. I was going south, literally ran, caught up with him, but didn't want to be creepy. So I kind of walked on the other side, and they were standing literally in front of like the WGN, you know, plaza there, I think that's, or the NBC plaza, you know, that big open space on Michigan Avenue,
sure.
Right near the bridge.
Yeah,
Pioneer Court.
So,
Pioneer Court, Equitable Building is there,
yes,
and
yes.
The old Tribune Tower, yeah.
Yes, that's it, thank you. And walked up to him, and I said, of course, mindful to call him by his first name, because I think he probably gets called Dwight a lot, it's so recognizable.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, I'm not going there. So I said, Rain, I do not mean to, I was going to say hi, though. I just want to tell you what an incredible fan we are, because we were. I was very excited and genuine. I just said I wanted to just tell you how much your program has meant to us, and we love it, and, you know, it's just a real backdrop for our family. And he said, because I was actually holding my phone because I was running with it, he's like, you want to get a picture? And I was like, yeah. So we took this great face, you know, selfie. And it was just, he couldn't have been more friendly and just outgoing and gracious. And he was in town doing a play at the Steppenwolf at the time, The Doppelganger.
Oh, yeah.
This was last, a year ago, June. Or May is when I met him. And anyway, I ended up going to see it. I mean, I went with my friend, and it was a great show. But it was just like, I'll always just kind of remember and want to tell people, he was just fantastic.
What a great story. This makes me feel good about humanity. It's 10:27. I'm out of time, but Tracy, thanks for sharing that. I'm happy it worked out for you all.
Thank you.
Yeah, you betcha. Do you have a celebrity kindness brush greatness story, Steve Bertrand?
Well, I have another Bill Murray story because we lived similar lives, apparently. We ran into him at the Honolulu airport.
By the way, if you didn't hear Steve's first brush with Bill Murray, they were standing next to each other at a urinal.
And I asked for a picture.
And he laughed. Yeah. And he didn't get a picture. You didn't shake his hand.
No, I did feel good because I did get a genuine laugh out of him.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then a couple of years ago, we were in Hawaii and we're there at 4 a.m. and get out of the rental car van. And there at the remote check-in was Noah, me, Sharon, and Bill Murray. Just the four of us.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really odd. It was 4 in the morning, so we weren't really talkative, but... we said hello. Noah shook his hand. He was very nice.
That's the end of the story.
I didn't tell him I worked at GN. I didn't tell him I was from Chicago. I just kind of, it was 4 a.m. He looked as bad as I felt.
I haven't seen many pictures of him looking good, by the way.
You know when it was? It was during the NCAA tournament. He was flying from Hawaii to, his son was coaching for Xavier then, and they were playing, I think, in the San Francisco Bay area. So he was flying back for that game.
This text just poured in, Steve. It's a picture of me and one of our listeners. It says, John, I met you in Geneva, and you could not have been nicer. Thanks. Thanks for sharing that picture.
You have a way of really appearing nice.
You make it sound as though it's the appearance that's remarkable. Although 920 texted in, Steve, and said, I saw a radio host on Michigan Avenue about 14 years ago, obviously, with his family. He recognized my expression as I was delighted to see him, and he nodded. But then his expression clearly asked that I not approach, and I nodded. He as well. It was nice to see you, John Williams. I do not remember this.
He sent you a follow-up text, by the way, on that first page.
Okay, so where is that, Ella?
It's on the bottom. It's under that picture.
Do you see it in front of you?
Yeah, it says,
Go ahead and read it.
So 920 sent you another text saying, no worries, John. It was so understandable. Your boys were with you. It was a family outing. I appreciated the nod. You're a great guy.
Oh, well, that's nice of you to say, but I'm.
That, can I just say that interpretation surprises me because I think you stop for anybody anytime.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's the thing. A lot of times when I'm out, I kind of scan to see, I'm not begging for attention, but if somebody does recognize me, I want to acknowledge that. So I'm sorry that the exchange made it appear as though I was brushing the person off, because here's the reverse end of that. If you're a me and you say, hey, how are you? And they're like, I don't know. What are you asking me for? You dope. If I misread the eye contact,
yeah, right.
It's like, hi, I'm a celebrity. Do you want to shake my hand? No, leave me alone. Who are you? Go away. I don't want it to be that either.
Or I've approached or walked by someone who works on TV who I've met several times and just waved at her through a crowd.
Yeah.
And she waved at me like I was a fan and watched her.
She didn't go, hi, Steve.
No, it was nothing. It was just like, oh, hi, thanks for watching.
I think a lot of the time, though, you have this... You're just thinking. It's not personal.
Well, that's what my wife will say, too. A lot of times, Brenda will notice people noticing us, but my head is in the clouds, and so, A, I'm not looking for it, or I don't see it like my family does sometimes, but also she thinks I'm not really mentally in the moment. Anyway, John, I saw in the early, let's see, who was, oh, yeah. Listen to this, though. 847. Hi, John. Years ago, in her early Chicago days with her show, we were in the same elevator with Oprah. We all gasped when the doors closed, thinking she would say hi, but nothing. After she got off, we were so disappointed in her attitude.
See, that's not fair, I think.
I completely agree with you, Steve. I mean, I understand it. You were a little disappointed. And if Oprah had just said, hi, everybody, and smiled, they would have told that story for years. But Oprah doesn't have to do that all the time, right? I mean, that's where you and I are on this one.
Yeah, and,
I mean, just the it is Oprah, but to operate under the assumption that everyone knows you and wants to talk to you, you know, isn't great either.
I think that was Oprah stealing a silent moment. She just didn't want to do it at that time. I wasn't there, so that's my read on it, though.
And you get an elevator ride.
Hi, John. I love to hear these stories. Years ago, my sister was at a Celine Dion concert and brought her flowers and went up to the stage, and she acknowledged her and came down and gave her a hug. Ex-Cub pitcher Randy Wells came into a bar in our town last year, and I recognized him. I was starstruck. I went up to him and told him how great we thought that he was. He was flattered and told us, hold on, and he walks out of the bar, comes back with a signed picture for us. What a polite and appreciative young man. I thought the story was going to go. He goes, great, hold on. He walked out of the bar, got in his truck, and drove away as fast as he can. Because he didn't want to be that guy in that bar where everybody was coming up to him. Jeremy Rennick was in Calumet, Michigan, in DUP, this past fall for Hockeyville USA celebrations. I met him the night before at a community dinner. He was super down to earth and friendly. The next night at the game itself, I was walking out to the concession stands between periods, and Jeremy was in the TV broadcast booth. People were watching. When he saw me, he smiled and waved to say hi. I know it's small, but I thought it was cool that he remembered me and acknowledged it. P.S. It might have helped that the night before I wore a Blackhawks sweater in a sea of Red Wings fans, but alas. Ella said we got a lot of calls on this. It's 10:39 on WGN. Bill, you're on the air. Thanks for holding. What did you want to say, Bill? Thanks for calling in.
Hi.
Hi, Bill. You're up. What's up?
Hello?
Hi, Bill. This is John. You're on the air. Bill may be listening to his phone, but he's not hearing us. We'll come back to him. Gina, you're on WGN. What did you want to say?
Hi. A long time ago, back, oh God, about 35 years ago, went to San Diego, and my sister got us tickets for Good Morning San Diego, and Jerry G. Bishop was the host of the show. Well, when my little sister was like 3-4 years old, they made her you know, homemade Spangooley shirt, and my dad was disabled, so we were in the front row. Well, in the commercial, he come down to us, and he was like all happy and everything to see Spangooley because she wore it to the thing. And so we're talking and stuff, and then he turned around. He has a Greek, it's a Greek Isle restaurant in San Diego, and he gave my family free dinner down there and stuff. But he couldn't have been the nicest person. And, I mean, he was just so, he was more thrilled to see my little sister wearing this Spangooley shirt, I think, than we seemed to be with him. He was just down to earth and so sweet.
That's exactly what we're talking about. Thank you for the call. It's 10:40 on WGN. I don't know what this would be like. Hey, Bill, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, John.
Sure.
Early in 1981, we had here in Danville, Little Richard made an appearance during a time when he was going through a, kind of a religious transformation, and that's what his program was about. We were in Danville High School, and me and a friend of mine decided to go there with the intentions on trying to get to talk to him briefly to do something for our high school newspaper, the Maroon and White. After the show was over, we thought we wasn't going to get that chance, and we ended up asking one of the people that would help him. He said he would go ask him, but he's not really sure. And then the next thing we know, here comes Little Richard. He's sitting on the edge of the stage with us for over 20 minutes. I was so in shock that he took the time to speak with us. The only thing that I could think of to talk to him about was that just a few months before was when John Lennon was murdered. And I knew that there was a connection between Little Richard and the Beatles early on in their career. So I asked him, I said, with everything that you said tonight, how can God allow something like this to happen to somebody as prominent as that? And he put his arm around my shoulder, and he said that God sometimes allows things to happen to try to make us better people, to recognize such things. He went on to talk about it a little bit more, but the man was never so more personable. And like I said, he spent over 20 minutes. It was just me, my friend, and him. Mm. And I'll never forget it. I still have the program signed by Little Richard that says, "It was great talking to you, Bill. Please read your Bible. God loves you."
That's just fantastic. That's just fantastic. Wow. Bill, thank you so much for the phone call.
Thank you, John.
I'm glad you shared that. By the way, I was supposed to say this. Get real in the mornings with Larry Podesch, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN Morning News team, weekdays 4 to 10. You know what's also nice is that in some instances like that where this famous person, you know, just a smile and a handshake would be enough, but if they actually have a conversation with you. And I remember the book about Michael Jordan. Who wrote that book? Jordan Rules. The author.
Sam Smith, wasn't it?
Yeah, Sam Smith. And in the book, he said when he would watch people interact with Michael Jordan, they would speak really fast. It was bizarre. But he realized that what the people were doing was they thought, this moment is going to be so fleeting. And they're nervous, but they're also just trying to get in as many words to have as much interaction as possible in that frame of time. So if you're going to have a conversation with Michael Jordan, if you're going to say something to him, you better be firing on all cylinders. Let him know right now because he may walk away. And so many of Michael Jordan's conversations with fans would be that. Them speaking really, really fast. And then him talking. And then them talking really fast. I wonder if at some point you slow down and go, wait a minute, it's happening. It's happening. I don't have to rush this moment. But then that, I guess, depends upon the celebrity giving you more than a moment. It's 10:43. This is WGN. So Lou Manfredini called in, our own Mr. Fix-It. And he had an interaction with David Schwimmer. I wonder if Schwimmer was really excited to see him. Okay, Lou's going to tell you that story after this. You saw that story? The waves on Lake Michigan are going to be, did they say 20 feet? Is that possible?
I think Demetrius said up to 23 feet.
Yeah, wow. Winds up to 45, maybe gusting to 60 miles an hour. He said it's going to wash over Lakeshore Drive tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow evening. He said, as you've probably been listening, that the snow is going to be maybe a foot or more into Wisconsin. And then as you go south, it just becomes less snow. It becomes rain. It becomes all rain. Northwest Indiana, hello. But in between, you might get black ice. It's going to be a wintry mix, as they say. And the winds will be really pronounced. He said, coming off the lake where the water temperature, I think, is 39 degrees, the precipitation will be rain. Further north, snow. He said in Chicago, we might get an inch, maybe even less.
Well, 1 to 3, I think, was what I heard, John, and then more as you get north of Chicago.
Yeah, and maybe south of I-80 as you go south and into Indiana. Steve, do I understand this correctly? Maybe no snow at all down there, right?
No, but a lot of rain. I mean, up to, there could be 4 inches of rain in some spots, so there could be flooding issues there.
When I was a kid, and as an adult, I think, wow, 4 inches of rain. That could be 40 inches of snow.
Right.
How awesome would that be?
So the weatherman's getting all of it, right? Neither rain nor sleet nor snow.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so glad I just got a sump pump installed.
Oh, nice.
Finally.
Yeah, no kidding.
Perfect timing.
Speaking of sump pumps, Lou Manfredini, our Mr. Fix-It, is on the phone. Hi, Mr. Fix-It.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, what's up, Lou?
How are you?
Good. We were telling celebrity stories where you brush with, but you know, I don't know that you even get to tell one, Lou, because you're on the Today Show. You
wait. Hold on. Here's what I want everybody to know. As a local C-minus celebrity, yeah, I want everyone to know that if you ever run into me at a restaurant or out and about and you don't want to get that look like the John Williams, like, don't talk to me, you can always come talk to me. I tell people all the time that when you don't come up to me and say, oh, my God, I love your show, or I hate your show, that when you stop doing that, then I got a problem. So I'm always happy to talk to whomever.
Usually when people come up to me, they're asking for your phone number.
You know, and I've seen Lou in action. He is just so generous. And I'll just pass this along, too, because I know Lou's too proud to mention this. But if you're in a restaurant and you see the Manfredinis there, ask the waitress to put your bill on their check, and Lou will pick it up. And I just think that is so nice of you.
You're a funny guy. I'm going to hang up on you now. But I was listening to Matt Bubala call in, and I am one that I have been lucky enough to brush with a lot of celebrities, and I never want to bother them because I always feel like, you know, Steve, you know, would talk to somebody at the urinal, but you know, they're out doing whatever, they're shopping or whatever. I'm standing in line at LaGuardia going through security, and it's just me, and I'm putting my stuff on the belt, and I turn, and standing behind me is David Schwimmer. I love David Schwimmer. I love Friends, and I just look at him. He looks at me. We're the only two people in the line at LaGuardia. And I think to myself, geez, I mean, I like David Schwimmer. What am I going to say? And so I hand him a tub, you know, because he's got his stuff, because I'm standing in front of the tub. And I just turned and I said, hey, thanks for all the years of entertainment. It's been a lot of fun watching you. And I turn and I walk through the security thing. That's all I said. And then he walks through again, and then he says to me, that was really nice of you to say. Thanks so much. He goes, where are you from? And I go, oh, I'm from Chicago. He goes, oh, I'm heading to Chicago. And all of a sudden, we start this conversation, and then David Schwimmer and I are walking down the American Terminal, chit-chatting back and forth. And he's saying, oh, you know, as part of the, I think, is it part of Looking Glass Theater, right? Is that right?
Oh, my
Looking
God, Glass. I'm losing it right now. I love this.
Right. And so we're just chit-chatting back and forth. Sure enough, we're on the same flight. We didn't sit next to each other. But when we get on, and you know, I see him sitting there, and he was happened to be sitting in first class, and I said, have a safe flight. And he goes, you too. And that was it. And it was like my little interaction with David Schwimmer. Couldn't have been nicer, kinder. He's very tall, by the way.
Yeah, as are you.
And so it was just a nice interaction. And I'm always the first one to – I was with a friend of mine once years ago in New York. We were having lunch. Who sits down next to us? Pete Townsend. With a friend. My friend was out of his mind wanting to go up there. I go, leave him alone. He's having lunch. It's Pete Townsend. I go, I understand. And he's having like a baguette. Leave him alone. And I made my friend leave him alone. It was Pete Townsend. I mean, that's a pretty big deal.
Ever since I heard that David Schwimmer works at Looking Glass Theater sometimes, I've been waiting years to just see him on the street on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, right. Years. I guess you need to watch the Playbill and see. Does he still come to town and do shows, or
I don't know,
or not so much anymore?
I want to go back to the etiquette or the protocol of wishing someone else on your same flight a safe flight. Doesn't that seem kind of weird?
Right.
I think it's nice,
I don't think you broach this topic. Just say, hey, I don't know.
Because you kind of wish. What am I supposed to say?
Well,
the flight doesn't go well.
Because you're on it too, right?
Well, yeah. What are you supposed to say? Bye.
Well, I hope we both make it.
I have a better way to tell your story. So you're standing in line and you're getting the tubs to put your stuff in for security there, and then you tell him that you appreciate his work, and then you guys go through security, and then on the other end you're picking up your tubs, and then he comes up to you and goes, hey, we've got a toilet downstairs, and we've got a little waterish, and it would have been so cool if he had like recognized you from your public profile and started to ask you home improvement questions.
You want to hear my Sandra Bullock story?
Sure.
I'm in New York. I'm doing the Today Show, and Sandra Bullock is there. Her sister is doing a segment because her sister is a chef. I'm a huge Sandra Bullock fan.
Sure.
And so I go, man, I got to get a picture. You know, Steve talked about not getting the picture, and that's like a whole broaching thing.
Yeah.
And so I go, I just got to ask her, because my daughter Mallory loves Sandra Bullock. This is right after the whole Blindside thing, right? So she's her star is super high. And so I walk up and I go, hi. I go, I'm a huge fan. Would you mind if I took a picture? She said, you know what? I'm here supporting my sister, and I'd rather not.
Oh.
And I was like, you're right. She was there for her sister. So I said, you know what? Will you do me a favor? She goes, what? I go, will you take a picture of me with your sister? And she said, sure. Her sister was there prepping for her segment. So I walk up. I still have the picture of me and Sandra Bullock's sister. And Sandra Bullock took the picture of her sister and I. And I said, you're absolutely right. And I shouldn't have done that. You know. And I said to her sister, I hope you have a great segment. And so then later in the show, I did a segment, you know, something on vacuum cleaners or something. And I did some line about where I said, oh, and when you fix this vacuum cleaner, it's going to suck like the day you bought it. Something funny like that. And I got some laughs. And at the end, Sandra Bullock came up to me and said, hey, you know that line about the vacuum cleaner? Yeah, she goes, it was brilliant. So I got that. I call her Sandy.
Only Lou Manfredini after Sandra Bullock says, hey, I'm here for my sister, and I would appreciate not you and I interacting because I'm the star. Most people go, got it, and they walk away. Lou goes, okay, I got a better idea. I mean,
you picture me with your sister.
You keep plowing forward. I know, it's hilarious.
And I still have that phone, too.
When are you going to be on the radio here, Mr. Fix-It?
Tomorrow at 7 in the morning.
All right. We'll be listening, my friend.
Love you all.
It's Lou Manfredini. By the way, speaking of brushes with greatness, has Lou done a trip with you, Steve Bertrand?
I think one, and he's going to do one to Ireland in March.
Lou Manfredini is?
Yeah.
He's doing a trip to Ireland?
It sold out instantly, yes.
Oh, has it really? I can't get on his trip?
No, you can't. It's long waiting list.
I think it would be fun to be on a trip with Lou Manfredini and see if he is as affable and approachable as he sounds on the radio. I know that he is. And then you're doing a Dave Ennett trip too, right?
Dave Ennett's going to Scotland with his wife Karen in June. Yeah, we do still have room on that trip.
Is this the same location that Brenda and I took listeners to?
No, this is, you went to London and Scotland. This is more all Scotland. So you go to Glasgow, Edinburgh, and you stay. Did you go to the Grass Market neighborhood? It's like right off Edinburgh Castle.
Yes.
Right. So it's a really cool restaurant area. So you stay in Edinburgh, then you go up to St. Andrews and see the old course, up to the Isle of Skye and Innis, and stay up in the Highlands a couple of nights in Glasgow. I think I said ride on the Loch Ness, a little boat ride to look for the monster. Whiskey tastings, all kinds of stuff like that. And, you know, you could recommend the spots for haggis.
Yeah, no kidding. We did eat haggis, made a video and picture out of it. It wasn't as bad as I thought. The haggis I had tasted like meatloaf.
If you look around, you can find deep-fried haggis. That's the way to go.
We were at a restaurant with a bunch of listeners, and everybody was waiting for me to eat the haggis. I think this is why they went on the trip. And I'm like, I will not eat this ground up intestinal food. And Brenda says to me, when the order comes around, she says, I ordered, like, you know, you order chicken, you order fish, whatever. Right. Brenda goes, I ordered the haggis for myself, for Brenda. She ordered it for herself. I said, why? She said, because John, everybody wants to see you eat haggis. I'm going to have some haggis. You're going to have to eat the haggis so that people can get the picture of you eating the haggis. Because she knew I wasn't going to get the haggis because I didn't want to eat haggis.
So you had a haggis tasting. We've got a special whiskey tasting on this trip for Dave.
I just thought it was so nice of Brenda to do that. This was like her contribution to the group.
Right.
She would compromise her own meal so that I can take the, and it was wonderful. Anyway, so Edinburgh's lovely.
Edinburgh is one of the coolest cities I've been in. And Glasgow is a little more industrial. I haven't been there, but I've been up to the Isle of Skye. St. Andrews, you know, the old course where they play the British Open?
Sure.
It is so cool to check that out. And St. Andrews is a really nice town, too.
I'm out of time. So what is the, how do we do this trip?
10-day trip. You can check it out at WGNradio.com or SteveBertrandTravel.com. Or just call me. We've got spots, 847-606-6065.
This is Steve Bertrand's trip that he's organizing, Dave. And it is leading it, and it is the second week of June, right? June 8th. Okay. It's 10:56. I love your stories. We'll relay more of them after the news. The Bright Side comes your way this afternoon, actually this morning, just before noon on WGN. Kind of funny because you asked for the nice stories about your brushes with celebrities, and people, though, sometimes can't resist telling the story where Oprah or Mike Ditka or somebody wasn't nice to them. But a lot of you have said, one of you called in and said, Paul Newman, you met him randomly, and he took you out to dinner. Paul Newman. Muhammad Ali, a couple of stories about Muhammad Ali. You know who has sown more seeds of kindness than anybody else maybe ever in this city is Ron Sano. The late, great Ron Sano, stories about him still come.